Welcome to Redemption, the podcast designed to save the planet. After an incredible response to our first episode on reuse stories from around the world, we're thrilled to bring you part two of this series. In this episode, we take a deep dive into a distinct and community-centered approach to advancing the global reuse movement with Alejandra Warren, co-founder of Plastic Free Future. Alejandra shares with us her perspective working with communities in California and beyond to promote reuse systems that are accessible and sustainable. In part two, we explore how reuse initiatives can be centered on equity and cultural respect, with examples demonstrating that meaningful change happens when a community's needs and knowledge are given priority. This episode offers impactful insights into the future and past of reuse, from scaling thoughtfully to the intersection of environmental and social justice. So let's dive right in. I spoke with Alejandra Warren, the co-founder and executive director of Plastic Free Future. Based in California, Alejandra is a dedicated environmental advocate with a strong focus on reuse systems. She's made significant strides in promoting reuse, particularly with systemically excluded communities. Welcome to the podcast, Alejandra. Could you please give us a brief overview, in your own words, of the work you do at Plastic Free Future?
Of course. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for inviting us today. We are a community-based organization located in California. Most of our work is here. And as you mentioned, we do work promoting reusable alternatives to single-use plastic. Non-toxic reusable alternatives to single-use plastic, mostly in underserved communities. And since I'm from Colombia, I was born and raised in Colombia, I have a lot of focus and love for the Latinx community. So that's most of the work we do here. We also do a lot of work in policy, local policy, federal policy. And right now we're working in the United Nations legally binding treaty for plastics. We have learned a lot from these years that we've been doing this work because we started as a really tiny community-based organization doing local grassroots work in our communities. And through that work, we started to see the need of engaging with different stakeholders. And we started with city council pushing for reuse policies in our city, in our county, specifically to promote reusables for on-site dining, which we successfully passed a few years ago. We're really proud of that. But after that, we started to see how collaborating with other community-based organizations is giving us the opportunity to share the reuse message with other groups that are not necessarily focused on sustainability. So we saw that there was an intersection between all of these needs of the community, and reuse was missing from all of that. So we've been working with community leaders, we've been working with local city councils to promote these initiatives. But then we also joined the Break Free From Plastic movement. And after that, we've been really lucky to expand our work and expand our impact, talking about reuse and reuse systems with other audiences. We are also very lucky to be part of the PR3 group working on standards. PR3 has been really generous, including some of our equity guidelines and standards in their process. So it is really beautiful to see how when you think with an intersectional lens, we can have impact beyond sustainability and beyond plastics.
It's so true. And I think it's sometimes unquantified or it's not considered at all. So I'm so appreciative for your work and Plastic Free Future's efforts to bring those factors into play. Can you share some examples of community-led initiatives you've been involved in that have successfully implemented reuse systems?
So we've been working on different initiatives for reuse for about 4 years. And I think my favorite example is what we call the Reuse Incentive Program. We started this program 4 years ago in a community that is an environmental justice community here in San Mateo County in California. And we started with something so simple as giving reusable bags in a farmer's market. So this farmer's market is located in this community that has been underserved for decades. And most of the community is Latinx. And we just had that as an opportunity to talk about the problems with plastic and how reusable alternatives are a good solution. So we just started giving the reusable bag, having people to check in with us every Wednesday, just to make sure that they remember to bring the bag. So what it started like that became this beautiful experiment on reuse, because every single week we discover new alternatives to have these conversations about reuse with our community. We talk about not only the importance of reducing single-use plastics, but we talk about the circular economy in general. And we are not educating communities. We are just reminding these communities that historically and traditionally, we already had the systems in Latin America. So it has been a really beautiful experiment seeing how we are helping each other to remember our traditions and how reuse was a really big part of it.
I remember when we met before, I brought home a bag that you gave out to a bunch of people, including me. And you know, I remember sharing it with my daughters and they were just like blown away, because it wasn't just that it was functional and an alternative to plastic, but it was beautiful, right? So there's this idea that you can really elevate the experience on so many different levels.
Bags are a really funny story, because the bags started to replace the single-use plastic bag that we use for produce, right? But every week we have people telling us how that bag has become a replacement of any Ziploc bag of any size. So yeah. They said, oh, I used to travel and put my shoes in a huge Ziploc bag, and now I put them in your bag. So we started to think beyond single-use plastic, and we started to think, okay, so there's an opportunity to remove other types of plastic from our lives. And those ideas are coming directly from the community.
I love that feedback loop. And that's exactly when education is working, is it's going both ways. So that's really beautiful. You know, you talked a little bit about how you spark the realization of that reuse systems have tremendous benefits. But are there certain messages or methods that you find resonate more with the communities you work with?
Yes, I think throughout the years, the biggest lesson has been moving away from education and centering our work in equity and compassion. I think it's a really beautiful perspective, seeing that we're not there to educate people on certain things. We're just there to remind each other how those systems work and how those systems used to work. We do have a lot of focus on the scientific part, because we want people to know that scientists are getting to the point of realizing how those microplastics and nanoplastics and chemicals that are in plastics are affecting human health and the health of the environment. So just sharing that information from a scientific point of view, and then realizing, okay, so what are the solutions that we have, and what are the traditions that we can embrace to move away from that linear economy?
And how do you find people reacting when a product that they either haven't really thought about, or that maybe they've just assumed they could trust, then they get the information about health concerns associated with it and toxicity?
Yeah, we see a lot of disappointment. And the main reason is because people tell us, if these products were so toxic, the government would never let us use them. So there's this idea of government protecting you, which we have the numbers. We have over 16,000 chemicals in plastics, and we are eating from them. We are heating our food on them. So when people start seeing that they have been lied to, it is a big shock and disappointment. But also when we talk about the solutions, they feel the pride of knowing that they do have the solutions already, and they just need to kind of reclaim the power of that knowledge. I think we have to start with the understanding of not all single-use plastics are the same. And sadly, communities of color and Latinx communities are disproportionately exposed to the most toxic plastics. So if you go to a low-income community, you're probably going to find styrofoam and low-quality plastics that have the most toxins. So when you empower the community with that knowledge, they have the opportunity to choose, make better choices. And we know those choices at the end educate city councils and mayors and communities that are creating the local policies that we need to protect those communities. But reuse is definitely the best option. We've seen how we're switching from plastic single-use items to other single-use items like fiber. And we're encountering that lots of those single-use items are loaded with PFAS. So we are switching one toxic for another toxic. And we need to make sure when we do the switch, we switch to non-toxic reusable alternatives. And we know we always think about takeout containers and coffee cups, but we need people thinking about different options, about different problems, and about different solutions. So we need to diversify the process of creating reusable solutions. We need innovation. And I think this is a beautiful opportunity for us to restore some of that cultural diversity that we lost with single-use plastics.
So picking up from that, talking about innovation, what are the key factors to consider when scaling up a reuse system from a local initiative to something broader and more widespread?
I love that question because I get that question all the time, scaling up, scaling up, scaling up. And I really invite all of us working in reuse systems to take a second to breathe and to slow down and to think that scaling up is not the only way. Scaling up to me means growth. So the urgency of growth comes from this capitalist system that in a way brought us to this problem. So if we think about slowing down and getting it right and doing it by the pace that the community needs, maybe we'll get an intersectional approach to reuse that is going to bring us benefits in different ways that we don't even know, social benefits, cultural benefits, and benefits of health that we're not even considering if we're only thinking about the waste part and the scaling up part. I think the best way to get it right would be to go to a community-based organization. They are doing so much work for communities already with so many of their basic needs that they are the perfect environment to implement reuse in a community. We just need to share the space of knowledge and question who's the expert in this subject. So don't think that because you're the reuse expert, quote unquote, communities don't have the knowledge that we need to make it happen. So co-create with communities, find local leaders that are doing beautiful work, that is intersectional work already in those spaces, and work with them to implement new systems that are going to be cheaper for you and beneficial for communities in general. I think I would love for all of us to think from a heart-centered perspective, from a compassionate perspective. I think when we think beyond our anthropocentric perspective, we get things right. If we center love and we center compassion and care for each other.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us for part two of Reuse Stories from Around the World. Alejandra's stories demonstrate that reuse isn't just about reducing waste. It's about reawakening sustainable practices that communities have used for generations. Her focus on equity, compassion, and listening to community voices is an important reminder that innovation doesn't always mean new. Sometimes it means bringing back what works in ways that respect both people and the planet. Stay tuned for more episodes in this series as we continue exploring how communities worldwide are adopting reuse solutions and pushing for a greener future. In the meantime, don't forget to visit our website for more resources and subscribe to our newsletter for the latest updates. You can also leave a review on Redemption wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember, working together from a common ground of knowledge, we can move effective initiatives forward.